Hello, everyone. This is Inside Pop, and we have your Oscars reaction and recap. I'm Sean David Johnson.
And I'm Amita Patel. We just finished watching the Oscars and have so many thoughts. The surprises of the night, the fashion, and of course, the results of our Oscar ballot battle with the co-host of Long Distance Popcast.
And have no fear, if you're a little Oscar fatigued, we also have our review of the brand new film, Get Out. It's the movie everyone is talking about.
And of course, we have a brand new big sale just for you.
It's all ahead on Inside Pop. Amita, would you allow me to say it?
What would you like to say?
Best Picture, Moonlight.
Are you sure it wasn't La La Land?
Oh my gosh, in my wildest dreams. It's funny, earlier tonight I was telling a friend that I'm actually tired of hearing myself talk about how much I love Moonlight, because we've been talking about the Oscars for months. But oh my God. Okay, so much to talk about. Welcome to Inside Pop. Sean and Amita here to talk about the Oscar telecast and what a show to talk about, because at the very last moment, a show that, in my opinion, was okay, became historic and extraordinary and emotional and WTF! Exclamation point, capital. Okay.
I screamed. I yelled at the TV. I screamed. I yelled at my brother. I have no idea what happened. And just so you guys know, it's like maybe 20 to 30 minutes since the show has ended. We are recording this right out of this because we are so emotional.
So our emotions are running high. The Oscars just ended. And both Amita and I are elated that Moonlight is the best picture of 2016, a film that was made for $1.5 million about poor, black, gay, struggling, drug-addicted, flawed characters, has been declared the best film of the year, and deservingly so. So I am over the moon with joy that this has happened. And I will say that as someone who podcasts, as our podcast is covering this, the confusion and the chaos on stage is interesting for us to talk about. But I will say that it makes me a little sad that this big win is kind of muddied by, you know, another picture, La La Land, which we all assumed was going to win, being called. Yeah. And then it's not an afterthought, but, you know, the confusion, which I'm sure will get cleared up even more tomorrow. But, you know, it's exciting. Moonlight actually won, but I'm a little disappointed that the win comes through all this kind of muddied chaos of the wrong card being handed to Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway.
Right. Yeah, I am too. I, you know, like at first I was just like, who cares? You know, they won. The right movie won, in my opinion. And I was so, so excited. But then when you think about it, like you had just said, like the win isn't the same. You know, somebody didn't just open up one envelope and just read Moonlight. They read the wrong film. And then people went on the stage and gave speeches. And then if you know, I actually rewatched it a little bit, and then there was like all this little commotion behind. There was people running across the stage. There was a guy with a headset who had another envelope. They had to grab another envelope. And I was like, what's going on? And then, you know, I think it was good that Jimmy came out there and said, you know, Warren, what happened? And Warren could explain it on the spot. But that also just added to more craziness. And Moonlight won, and they nobody could believe it because it was just a weird occurrence and it's never been done before. And so that moment when somebody opens an envelope and says your name and a crowd just jumps up in surprise, which it would have been, and love and appreciation and joy, was completely diminished. And as much as the, you know, they're going to stand the test of time and win, and have this win for Best Picture, it's just unfortunate that they didn't get that win. Yeah, frankly, like last year, Spotlight, you know, when Spotlight won, it was a little bit of a surprise. And there was this uproar in the theater of people who were so excited. You know, I think I would have jumped out of my chair if that happened naturally.
Yes. So for the 10 minutes that it happened, it wasn't the moment that I think those filmmakers had dreamt of, right? Barry Jenkins spoke about dreams, but what matters in the long run, because we're recording this just moments after it happened, but I think what happens in the long run is Barry Jenkins is now a director of an Academy Award winner for Best Picture. Those producers are, those actors are in. So the test of time, mm-hmm. I sent out a tweet earlier today about it. No matter what happens tonight, Moonlight is a film that I know that I'm going to watch over and over again for years, for decades to come. I think this movie mm-hmm. is going to be considered one of the great films of the 21st century. And so what we're feeling a certain kind of way now. I think a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, I think, jokes will be made, comments will be made. I'm sure there are people on Twitter right now who are saying, racist, this is all racism. I don't think so. I think it's messed up and very unfortunate luck. But the test of time will be that I think Moonlight and La La Land will be remembered in different ways. So congratulations to both of those films.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think it's just... Like you said, it you know, a week, month, whatever, it's gonna die down, and whatever the shock is from this moment is gonna dissipate, and in the history books, Moonlight will be the Best Picture winner. And as we've discussed many times, and as I had put on my Oscar ballot, I think that Moonlight overall was a better film. I loved La La Land. I really did. It gave me so much joy. But when you talk about a film that elevates cinema and makes you feel and makes you think, you know, and gives you an experience in that theater, I thought Moonlight did it. So I was just so, so happy. Congratulations to everyone involved with Moonlight. This was a huge, huge, huge win.
The house of hyperbole doesn't lie. That's all I'm saying. That's my last thing. That's not like bragging rights. It's just like I'm actually just excited that this movie that I saw, was it back in September that I needed to put in the house of hyperbole?
October.
I was like, oh, I'm so excited. It was made for me. And what else did I want to say about this? Because I feel like before this happened, I was enjoying the Oscar telecast, but I felt like nothing memorable was happening in the Oscar telecast. I was like, oh, this is enjoyable. There are the political speeches. There are the digs at mm-hmm. Trump. Everything that you wanted and expected was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh, I'm going to give this Oscar telecast a B-, a B+, because I think Kimmel did a great job. But, oh my gosh, those last 3 minutes made it memorable. God. So,
of course.
Oh my gosh. So what else about the Oscar telecast would you like to recap, Amita? What else?
It's so hard because it really is.
It really is about this after. Best
so
picture
it's so,
win.
Like, everything is just still in my head about what just happened. But, I kind of agree. Like, it was a good Oscars telecast. You know, at a certain point, as somebody who continuously watches award shows, there's not that much more that you can do with these things. They have to have presenters who have to say something and introduce nominees, and they have to have a winner, and the winner has to give a speech, and they have to go over time. That is usually what happens. What makes them different is incredible performances or, you know, really, really great host and some surprises. At the beginning of the night, I think the biggest surprise, which was Suicide Squad.
Yeah, let's all... I know you're happy because that actually gave you a point on the Oscar ballot, but let's all collectively hang our heads in shame because now we live in a world where Suicide Squad gets to put Academy Award winner in its
It's Prescott.
Let's all.
It's really crazy.
You know, it's like first Brexit, then Trump, and now Suicide Squad as an Academy Award winner. It's trying times, people. Trying times.
Is it? But then, obviously, like, you know, I was just so excited for Mahershala Ali to win. Viola Davis wins. I mean, we all knew these things were happening. We had predicted it. But, you know, for it to really come true and for them to come up there and both give incredible speeches was just beautiful. And I loved it. And then Barry Jenkins and Terrell Alvin McCraney winning for screenplay. Like, there was so much incredible love for diversity this year that you didn't see recently. So I loved that. And, you know, I think one of the bigger highlights for me, I loved seeing Sarah Bareilles do the In Memoriam. I love her to death. I love everything she does. So she did a beautiful, beautiful job with her song there. And then she sang Both Sides Now from Joni Mitchell, which I know you love.
Joni Mitchell is one of my touchstones. Joni Mitchell, I think, is the singer-songwriter of American music. She's just so, she's so special. And I love so much of what she's done. Yeah, she never lies as well.
It was a beautiful,
also,
beautiful.
FYI, Joni Mitchell never lies.
Yeah, and so that was a beautiful moment. And I think, you know, Jimmy, let's talk about Jimmy. You know, I think that he had some high notes, he had some low notes.
I'm giving Jimmy Kimmel an A.
Wow.
I think, okay. Yeah, I think Jimmy Kimmel, this is why I think he did a spectacular job hosting. I think he kept it moving. I think whenever he appeared, he had something to do or something to say. I think he kept his own voice, right? He was very Jimmy Kimmel.
Yes,
the bits that he did, the jokes that he did, his delivery, it was all very Jimmy Kimmel. He wasn't trying to be something or someone else. And somehow, it fit in the Oscars, and including his like years-long, is it a decade-long fake rivalry with Matt Damon? And he brought
there. That was the best part.
It was great. And so I think, bring him back next year. That's what I say. He didn't get in the way, and he was pleasant when he was there. I don't know what more you could want. I'm saying Chris Rock and Jimmy Kimmel, let them alternate. I just want them back and forth every year.
Interesting. I didn't expect you to love Jimmy so much.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't realize it. That's what I want in a host. I want you to be funny and a little weird, but keep your own voice. And be respectful to the whole situation. Like, don't be Ricky Gervais, because we don't need that. I think he did a great job.
Yeah, I liked him a lot. I felt that he was in his own voice, and I liked that part. You know, I like that we know that that's how his humor is. I think there was just some moments that kind of fell a little flat to me. The candy from the parachutes from the ceiling, that was really, really funny, but not because that was his bit, is because everybody in the audience had such great reactions to getting candy in the middle of a show.
Yeah.
And you know, I think he did a really good job. The stuff with Matt Damon was my favorite, though. That was fantastic. And then I think the bit with the tour bus folks coming in had great intentions, but then it kind of took a little too long. And with a show that was going way over time, we should have maybe thought that through a little bit or ushered them across the stage faster.
Yeah, it was great. And there was a point when the fact that I said to myself, oh, it's taking too long, but I kind of like that. I like the chaos that's ensuing. But then there was a point where it's like, it's too chaotic.
Right.
And then this is just my issue. When he kept telling people to touch Mahershala Ali's Oscar, that made me uncomfortable, because there are a lot of people, including myself, who believe, like, if you touch something that belongs to me, if you touch me, if you touch my objects, that's like, I don't know if I want all that energy. So that, I don't know, that made me weird, made me feel weird. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure Mahershala was like, Jim,
I just got this. Right. Why are you all touching it?
Although Gary from Chicago, is that guy?
Yes, Gary from Chicago.
The best.
He is. And he got married to his fiance with Denzel right. Washington right there. That was a great moment. Yes. I liked that a lot. Yeah,
Denzel played along for as long as Denzel wanted to play along. He's like, I will play Basically. Along up until this point. Goodbye.
Yes.
So shall we, without further ado, listen, I'm so happy about Moonlight to win that I will joyously begin this conversation. As you know, as you guys hopefully know, we teamed up Avengers style with Long Distance Popcast, another great pop culture podcast. And we had an Oscar ballot where the four of us, Amit and I, and then the host Claudia and Matt, we each filled out Oscar ballots and we had a friendly competition. I joyously say that I came in fourth place. I lost, and I've never been happier to lose, actually, honestly. So yes, I came in last, and no shame in my game. But congratulations to, drum roll,
Matt McKee.
Matt. I'm going to say Matt McKee was the moonlight of our Oscar ballot.
That's a very good description of Matt. He got some really great choices in the ballot. And I gotta say, like, the ballot, maybe that's probably why this award show, maybe I didn't like connect with Jimmy as much. I was sometimes a little bit more concerned about the ballot than the show because it was so much fun to sit there and see who got what and how much we were getting at. And there was some confusion about who got how many points, but it was still really fun. And so every time I was just like, yes. And I was like, oh, I just screwed up sound editing and mixing, guys.
Right. Yeah, there was a point early on where I thought I had a chance. But yes, like Moonlight, Matt McKee came in humble. Mm-hmm. And but there was obviously quality there, so we didn't even need the tiebreaker. Matt just kind of won far and above. So my only hope is that he really gives it to Claudia on the next episode of Long Distance Podcast and really rubs it in.
Yes, definitely.
But congratulations! Definitely. I hope we get to. I let's do this. Let's do it with these guys every year.
We should. That was so fun and. Yeah, I guess we had a sort of bet, and I think the loser had to edit the podcast.
No, that was a hypothetical, theoretical.
Oh, really?
What if type of scenario?
Well, I mean, Claudia lost to Matt, and she did say that it didn't really matter because she does edit all the podcasts for the two of them. But when it came to the two of us, sir,
you guys,
I won.
Let this be a moment where we put a PSA out for editors. If you'd like to intern for Inside Pop and edit our shows, not for money, not even for appreciation, because I don't really have time to thank you for doing that, just for the joy of editing a podcast.
Oh my God.
Please send your resumes, yes, to Inside Pop Podcast. No more editing for
me. Listen, you would have beat me if you had picked Moonlight and Casey Affleck. That's how it felt. That's how the pieces fell.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. But I mean, it could have gone other ways too if I had picked the right sound mixing category.
No, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. It's been a journey. Well, I know, Amita, you love to talk about fashion. Yes, let's do it. Can you, may I interview you about the fashion?
Oh my gosh, I love it when you interview me, sure.
Okay. shall we do it Slay or Nay style?
Yes, sure.
Which male on the red carpet on Oscar night gets your biggest slay?
Drum roll, please. I let my husband out for the night and he got some notes from me and he slayed it on the red carpet. Riz Ahmed in a custom slim blue tux. Mm. Slay.
Nice job, Riz MC. He was Riz Ahmed that night. There was no Riz MC happening.
Yes,
he was Riz Ahmed. Yeah, he
was
looked good.
Fine.
I know Esta Fiesta agreed with you.
Mm-hmm. He looks so good.
Esta Fiesta is a friend we made last year at Podcast Movement, and she has a great podcast called Poised and Polished. Search it on iTunes, and she really gives great fashion
and beauty advice.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but yeah, I loved his tux. There was a lot of blue and gold. It seemed like blue and gold were the theme of the night. And so there was quite a few blue tuxes and a lot of gold dresses for the women. So I also loved Little Sunny Power from Lion.
His hair was so on cute. Point.
He was so cute.
I mean, his hair was amazing.
You guessed. Well, he's just adorable. He can do no wrong in my mind. I love him so much. So he looked super dapper. And then for the ladies, I would say Taraji slayed it. Oh my gosh, she looks so chic. She looked so, so good. The hair, the makeup, like everything. She just, that dress fit her like a glove.
And the thing about her, I'll say, is, and I like laughing at myself when I talk about fashion because I really don't know. But I will say this, as if I know what I'm talking about. She also looked completely comfortable. You know how some women, yes, especially, will wear these dresses and you can see them walking like little toy soldiers. Taraji looked completely comfortable in her skin, in her dress, in her face makeup, in her hair. She, mm-hmm, like, she owned it all.
She really did. And the, I think the other actress that everybody, I think, broke the internet that owned her look was Janelle Monáe. Oh my gosh. Janelle, in her own unique way, that dress just worked so well. It's not something that's traditional, and it's not something that everybody might have loved, but I thought it was perfect for her and her makeup and the headband, everything. I love Janelle and her style, oh, and she killed it.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because Janelle Monáe is one of the people who I will love no matter what, even when they do, yeah, something that's not lovable. I just... She's on such a pedestal for me. And I saw her dress, mm-hmm, and I immediately said, well, I love it because she's wearing it. But yes, but I was a little nervous. Yeah, I was a little nervous. I was like, is it too much? But so I'm glad to hear you say that, no, it's not too much. It was just right for her.
It's just right for her. I don't know if anybody else who could have tried to wear that dress would have ever been able to pull it off. So, yeah. Some low notes. I'm going to give just a couple little low notes. There was some dresses that I didn't feel like maybe were like ill-fitting or just not the right shape. Leslie Mann, she just seemed like she was just taken over by tons of fabric and not a flattering color of like a yellowish chartreuse. Not a big fan of her dress. Octavia, love you to death. I think you're an incredible actress. I love her. I love her. I love her. I didn't think that dress fit her frame properly. And I think she did seem to me like a little uncomfortable, like you had said. You know, some people really fit and like work their dress. I don't know if I felt that she was like owning that look for herself. So, but she's looked stunning other times. Please, Octavia, don't hate me. I love you. So, and Terrence Howard, not a fan. Not a fan of that tux. It was like a pattern and had like some shine to it. It was weird.
Oh, I didn't even see him on Oscar night.
Oh, really?
I didn't.
No.
But, I liked my favorite dude, David Oyelowo. You know how I feel about him.
But he
takes risks, right? So he had, mm-hmm, that black and white tux, and then I looked closely at my high definition television and I saw that the tux actually had a pattern, which initially made, yeah, me nervous.
Yeah.
But he pulled it off.
Well, his pattern was pretty subtle, which is, I think, is why he pulled it off, and because it's so like crisp white. That worked. Terrell Alvin McCraney, who did the story for Moonlight and won an Oscar, his pattern was a little bit more prominent. I think it still worked. I just didn't love it as much as I love David's. So either way, men are looking fine in tuxes for the most part.
Yeah, and can I shout out to my brother Terrell?
Yes.
I feel like you might... quite often when people think about writers, they're not thinking about attractive or sexy. Terrell, you are a MacArthur. I believe he's won a MacArthur Genius Grant.
He has. Mm-hmm.
And you also look that good. So I'm just going to give you kudos for being a writer who also could be on the cover of GQ. Nice job.
Well done. Well, well done. Oh, and then shout out to Kirsten Dunst. Loved her black dress look.
I didn't see her. You know how I feel about Kirsten Dunst.
Oh my God, I know you love her. That's why I brought her up. Yeah. Oh, she just looked complete Oscar classic elegance. The dress fit her perfectly. It had pockets. It was a perfect shape. She just looks so, so classy.
That makes me happy. All right. Obviously, I have some DVR rewatching to do.
Yes, you do.
Yes. I feel like this is if there was ever an Oscar telecast to Zapruder film, it would be this one. Go back and find out what the F happened in a few different circumstances. But
I'm going to watch it again after we finish.
Yes, at 1 a.m. It is currently 1 a.m. right now. It's exciting. We're both wide awake. I do feel like I could talk about this Oscar telecast and Oscar season for the next 9 hours, but I guess my final thought will be...
Well, you're going to make it a best doc Oscar winning documentary about this Oscar season?
Yes, O.J. Simpson, Made in America. Boy. Well, yes, an exciting Oscar telecast. Proving that one should stay tuned until the very end, because it definitely gave us some thrills and chills. And
I think it also is proving, just read the card properly, guys.
But yeah, I really, in my wildest dreams, did not imagine that our Oscar recap episode would feature our discussion of Moonlight winning Best Picture. So I'm just going to end by saying that I am really elevated and so happy on so many levels that my favorite film of the year, I think one of the most important films of the past many years, has been awarded this honor. And even if it hadn't won, I would love it just as much, but it makes me so happy that it's received this honor. And hopefully it'll bring in some more money. I was reading an article, Amita, about all of the money that all of the Oscar nominees have made. And I think Moonlight has made the least amount of money out of all of them because it's a small indie film. And and black films, films about black characters tend to be embraced by black audiences. But in this case, it really hasn't been, I think partly because of the homosexual elements in the film, the gay elements in the film. So, which makes me a little bit sad. But but hopefully this Best Picture Oscar will propel it and allow it to make more money and just really have more people see it. So I am, right now I am on pop culture cloud nine.
Oh, I am on cloud nine right there with you. I know you love this, you cherish this film in such a special way, and I love seeing you gush about it. So this was so exciting. I wanted to call you, frankly, as soon as this happened, but I knew that like I was freaking out and that meant you were freaking out and we just needed to like freak out. So congrats to all of the winners. It is such an incredible accolade to have. For those that were nominated that didn't win, you were nominated. That's still an amazing, amazing honor. So hope all of you guys are partying up tonight in LA, and we're just going to go to bed.
Night, night.
It's been quite an award season, and I got to say, I'm kind of exhausted from talking about movies all the time. So can we just like move on to something else?
Like another movie?
Okay, sure.
Well, I don't think either of us would mind talking about this movie. We both this weekend just saw the new horror, comedy, social satire film written and directed by Jordan Peele, Get Out. It came out on Friday, February 24th, and it received rave reviews, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I didn't think was possible. So, of course, we're saying that this movie is a must-see, which is why we saw it. And we want to tell you if it's worth the hype.
Oh, yeah. That's funny how you phrase that, Sean. That's a good phrasing. I think I was overhyped for this film. I saw it Thursday night, and it is good. And I think it's well done, and it's really smart. Has such incredible social commentary within an entertaining horror film. mm-hmm. but I definitely felt like I was let down a little.
Interesting. What let you down? What wasn't great or entertaining, greatly entertaining about the film?
Well, that's the thing. It was still greatly entertaining. But I think as soon as it ended, I was seeing it with a friend, and I swear, like, we just at the end during the credits were looking at each other like, it felt like the beginning was a little slow and they rushed the end. And then the next day when I talked to our friend Caroline Hand, who had seen it earlier in the week, I was like, I suddenly saw Get Out. She's like, let's talk about it because nobody's seen it yet and I need to talk to somebody about it. And then I found more type of concerns with certain things that I didn't understand right away. And she said her husband didn't get it right away. And I was like, yeah, there are certain things that I get why they did it. And it was interesting and different and cool, but like, at the same time, I didn't completely get it until I had to think about it like five more times after.
You know, hype is such a dangerous thing because yeah. I feel like it can work badly in two ways. First of all, you can get people who just expect it to be so great because of all of the hype. And no matter what, they're going to love it. There was a guy sitting behind me who was just laughing so loud. And, you know, I wanted to turn around to him and say, hey, guy, I know you're pumped for this, but that wasn't really a laugh out loud joke. That was a, you know, but so there's that type of hype where people just kind of fall prey to it. And right. then there's the hype that I think you're experiencing, the downside of hype, which is you were just expecting maybe the greatest horror film you ever saw. The smartest satire you ever saw, the most brilliant treatise on interracial dating you ever saw, and it's almost impossible for a movie to live up to that.
It is, and I realized, and I had to put myself in check, and I'm like, well, what would I, you know, I had to realize I can't expect all those things. And again, when I stuck back from it and I, you know, stopped critiquing some plot holes and things, and you look at it again as an entire film and what Jordan Peele accomplished with the social commentary he made throughout this film, it's brilliant. It really is brilliant. You know, I don't want to take away from that fact.
Well, I think I definitely liked it more than you do. You know, I think the thing that I liked most about it was the fact that it reached, right? I always say, A for effort is a backhanded compliment, but I will give it an A for effort because he really did reach in terms of making it as scary as possible, making it as smart as possible, mm-hmm. and as satirical as possible. So he really did swing to hit all three of those marks. So I love that effort was there. And then I think there were so many times where he did achieve that. I think there were so many kind of big, scary, classic horror moments that made me yell. You know I will yell in a movie, Amina.
Oh, you do.
You've sat. Remember Nocturnal Animals?
Yeah.
You guys, a quick tangent, watching Nocturnal Animals, and there's just this one moment that seems out of place now that I think about it, but there's just one scary, shocking moment where the violins go, you know, and it just scares the audience. I was so off guard. I yelled so loud that I think it's still echoing in the theater 3 months later.
Mm-hmm. No, sorry. That was good. No, I mean, but you're right. There was such great moments like that in this film that I loved it. Like, I definitely jumped. Like, it is still a good horror thriller film because I jumped many times. I was definitely, like, you know, getting into the violence of some scenes too. Like, yeah, like, get it, you know, and things like that. And there's this one actress who plays Georgina, the housekeeper, and there is this one scene that's like super tight on her face, and she gives me nightmares.
Yeah.
And for an actress to do that and to also just portray that type of freakishness is so rare and so well done by this actress. And I have to say, like, if there was an award, an Academy Award for just like a minute scene, that woman would win it.
Yes. And I love that we're talking about this film spoiler free, because there are things. There are things that I want to talk about. Some of my favorite things about this film are things that I can't talk about if we're trying to be spoiler free. But there are moments in this film where I did say to myself, this is definitely written and directed by a person of color, because I don't think, you know, even a white director or white writer would initially think about adding that moment or really understand what it's like to be the only black person or person of color in this situation. And let's take that discomfort or fear that I think we've all probably experienced and magnify it 100 times. So it's, yeah, so that's exciting. So I have a question for you. What was the makeup of your audience like, the racial makeup of your audience when you saw it?
I got there early-ish, so I don't know.
I always look around at my audience. I was like, who's in here with me? What do they look like?
Yeah, I have to think.
Well, I saw the film in downtown Brooklyn, and I think it was pretty mixed. I think it was a pretty young audience, so some millennials, some Gen Y, but also a few Gen Xers like myself. And I'm going to say it was, you know, Brooklyn's changing so much. Mm. 10 years ago, 12 years ago, it would have been an all-black theater. But I'm going to say it was 50-50 or even 60% white, 40% black.
Okay. Yeah. I think the people in my row, I think it was probably 60-40 as well. I can only tell my row.
I will make
a side comment about seeing movies in theaters, because we are very spoiled sometimes and privileged to see things in screening rooms at some point, and also see films without trailers. And it's kind of fun to see a movie at the theater, like especially the theater we went to at Battery Park. Like, I had a reclining seat with a table and I was like really relaxed for this film. It was very nice.
Yeah. And listen, trailers are fun. You know, there's nothing more that I think both of us love than anticipating pop culture. So a good trailer definitely gets one hyped, and it's fun to see the 20 minutes of trailers they'll show in movie theaters.
It is nice, but I got to say, I think there's sometimes a problem with trailers where they give away too much. And I to get back to Get Out, the Get Out trailer gave a little too much away. In my
opinion.
Yes,
I agree.
Luckily, I had kind of forgotten it. I'd seen it like a week and a half ago, so I'd forgotten what was in that trailer. So that helped me. But once I saw it again after the film, I was like, what's wrong with you guys? Why are you doing this in this trailer? And there was a trailer before the film, I'm sure you might have seen it, with Katherine Heigl and Rosario Dawson.
No, they didn't show that in my theater.
Oh, there's like another type of thriller film with the two of them. And I swear to you, I looked over at my friend and I was just like, I know what happens.
Will my love for Rosario outweigh my disdain for Katherine Heigl?
No.
I don't know.
No, don't
make
it.
Okay.
Just watch the trailer. You'll see it.
Well, and then speaking of trailers, Amita, I think that's also part of the hype conversation that we started out with, which is that I can't think of a better trailer than the trailer for Get Out. I remember... It was, I think the BET Awards was the first time the trailer was released. Such smart marketing. That's my memory of that. And as soon as that commercial for Get Out played, I think it was during the BET Awards, Twitter went crazy. And I think that's also part of the hype machine. You put out a masterful, attention-grabbing, jaw-dropping trailer. The expectations are through the roof. So it's challenging for the film. So I guess my last question for you is, you're feeling a certain kind of way about the movie. Would you recommend it? Would you tell our listeners to go out and see it?
Yeah, no, I still think it's worth seeing. Like I said, I still think it is a really well done film. You know, I think Jordan Peele, everybody knows him as a comedian, impersonator type. He does great Obama impersonations and does some interesting, thoughtful comedy on... thought-provoking comedy on Key and Peele, which I love. So he took that, you know, sentiment and then injected it with a thriller feel in this film. And it is something that makes you think, like you said, you know, about being a person of color, about that type of environment. And regardless if you are a person of color or not, I think it's worth seeing because there's humor in it. There's controversy in it, and it'll still make you jump. Like it's a type of movie that'll make you jump. Still made me jump.
And then just quickly, shout out to, and I hope I'm not completely butchering his last name, but Daniel Kaluuya.
Oh, yes. He was fantastic.
He is the lead in the film. He's got the most expressive eyes, amazing performance, yeah. A great actor. We also saw him in Sicario.
And in Black Mirror.
And he was in, 15 Million Merits, that episode
Whatever,
of Black
your
Mirror.
Your favorite, my least favorite episode of Black Mirror.
Yeah, but we have to admit he was good in that episode.
He was great in that episode. Yeah. He has like this really impressive, quiet intensity as an actor that's hard to really capture, and he does it really well.
Yeah, so shout out to him. Hopefully more great work from him. Mm-hmm. So cool. Well, glad that we both saw it and glad that we could share our thoughts and feelings with the viewers, the listeners.
Yeah, I wish I could have seen it with you. It actually would have been really fun to see it with
you.
Although you might have punched me because you were shocked.
I am easily startled. That is a fact. All right. Well, shall we move on to the big sell?
Yes, I missed it. Let's do it.
Welcome back, Big Sell. You are the segment in which Amita and I take turns recommending something from the world of pop culture to the other. So last week, or actually it was 2 weeks ago because we gave the Big Sell a week off because of our Oscar special. So a couple of weeks ago, I rewrote the rules.
Yeah, change the game, buddy.
I changed the game, kept it fresh. I big sold the new Sampha album called Process to Amita.
You did.
The way I broke the rule was because usually it's something that I was loving and living for in pop culture that I wanted her to experience. I had read a ton about Sampha. I had heard a lot about it. Issa Rae was tweeting about it, but I hadn't had a chance to listen to it yet. So this big sell is a little bit different because I'm big selling this. I big sold it to Amita based on, once again, hype. That's the theme of this episode. So I am very curious to see how this experiment turns out. What did you think?
I really, really enjoyed Process. There were some really great songs on this album. And, you know, because I think you had said that Solange also worked with him.
Yeah, he's the voice on Don't Touch My Hair.
Right. So I felt that vibe that I got from A Seat at the Table. And it's just, like I said it back then, it's like the throwback neo-soul type of feeling. Everything felt a little familiar on here, and I like that. You know, sometimes when something feels familiar, it seems like it's a copy or it's a ripoff. But this familiarity was just like, I felt a great groove, you know, an interesting vibe, a comfort in soul and R&B that I always like to feel, you know. So if somebody does it right, like he did, it's a win, you know. I think some songs that I enjoyed 100% was Reverse Faults. I love that song. What about you?
I also really liked it. It's comfort is a good word. You know, there are some albums that make me want to kind of dive in and explore and analyze. And I mean, musically, I don't have the knowledge to do that, but just in terms of maybe lyrically and what it's doing and how it's making me feel. Whereas this album, I think it's more of just a kind of overall blanketed, this is the world I'm in, and just, yeah, be comforted by it. So yeah, I liked it a lot, and I feel like it's really good kind of Saturday morning, Sunday morning, chill out in my living room music.
Yeah.
Which is a compliment. And and I think maybe my favorite track, I really like No One Knows Me Like the Piano in My Mother's Home.
I knew you were going to say that one.
Yeah.
I love that one too. Plastic 100 Degrees Celsius was also great. Mm-hmm. Timmy's Prayer.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know who this Sampha is, but definitely one to watch. I definitely will continue to see what else he has going on. If he's collaborated with anybody else in the past, I'm going to try to get on the Sampha tip because I like it.
Yes, I think he's in the vein of a lot of those people who started writing and producing for other people. And then he realized, wait, I can do this myself. So good for him. Awesome. So what is your rating for Sampha?
You know, I really, like, I listened to it quite a bit over the last couple of weeks just because I wanted to make sure I stayed fresh with it and give it different listens at different periods of where I was in the day or, you know, emotionally. And every time I went back to it, it was great. So I'm actually going to give this like a really good rating. I think it's going to be like a 3.75 stars.
Nice. Good job, Sampha.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm glad you joined it. I'm glad this little experiment worked out. I'm not going to do it all the time, but I'm glad it worked out this time.
Well, hey, wait, this experiment means that you give a rating.
Oh, okay. I'm going to give it 3 stars.
3 stars. Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. That's a good rating.
No, that is a good rating. That's a good rating. It's not as generous as mine.
It's not. It's not. And I guess I wonder when the next time I'm going to listen to it. Because, you know, like that's, you know how like there are albums you hear and you're just like, oh, I know I'm going to listen to this today when I go to the gym. Or I know on my next subway commute, this is the first thing I'm going to listen to. I'm not getting that right now from Sampha, but I'm getting, I know I'm going to listen to this in the future. I'm just not planning. When?
Yeah, I get it. I totally get it.
Well, what do you have to big sell for me this week?
You know, I think we should just always preface that it's sometimes, it's not the easy way out, but it's always just somehow easier to just big sell music to each other. I think partially because we both love music, but also because it's easier and faster to consume than, yes. than, you know, television or film or something else. So it's another music big sell from me.
I love it. I love it.
So I swear I don't love, I mean, I love James, and it's just, sometimes hard to not mention our friend James Barker every time we talk about music, but he is such a great musical influence to me because he's a DJ, but we talk just about every day and always talk about music because he knows how much I love it and I know much how much he loves it. And so when he finds an artist and shares it with me, it has so much more weight to it because I know where he comes from and I know what type of music he likes and he knows what I like. So he shared this artist with me like a couple weeks ago and I fell in love. And I looked at it and she's actually been around for a couple years. And I had not really known of her at all. And then I heard this other song from her and I was just like, I've heard this before. So I think one of her songs was in some type of ad at some point and it stuck with me, but I never like did the research to find out who she was. So thanks to James, I found out who she was. So I'm going to give you 2 songs from this artist named, I hope I'm not butchering this, Sanabo Say.
Okay. Interesting.
Have you heard of her?
No, I haven't. I haven't. Okay.
She's got this really, like, interesting, full, how do I say it? It's got a full-bodied, toned voice. And she does, like, it's a combo of, like, some upbeat dance, but then soul in there as well. It's really great. These 2 songs I'm going to sell to you are Hard Time, which is the one that you may recognize from some ad at some point, and Pretend. Okay. Is a little bit more of like a dance track, and Hard Time has more of like an atmospheric, really cool feel. So Sanabo Say, Hard Time, and Pretend.
James, if you're listening, I have a suggestion. You can, you know, consider it or whatever. Do you want to consider changing your DJ name to DJ Big Sell? Think about it.
I think you should.
Sounds kind of cool to me, DJ Big Sell, because that could be awesome. I look forward to this, A, because James recommended it to you, and B, because you're recommending it to me. So let's, good. I can't wait. Do you know where she's from, or?
I don't know where she's from. I didn't do the research.
I just need to, you know, I need to label people. I need to know their ethnic background. I need to, you know, but.
You're hilarious.
But no, I basically, I just
she's
asked.
She's a Swedish recording artist and songwriter.
Oh, okay.
Wikipedia on the fly. Yeah, she's Swedish. Yeah.
Because it's interesting, Release Radar, because I think I've listened to one or two, I don't know if it's world music is the right word, but artists from Africa or other places, I am getting now on my release radar singers, especially kind of dance music singers from different countries, which is helping with my pop culture resolution. But it's exciting for me hearing non-American. So that's the only reason why I asked.
Oh, yes.
So yeah,
yes,
I'm really excited.
I'm helping you with your international pop
Thank
culture.
Thank you, Amita.
I didn't even realize that, but you're welcome.
Thank you, DJ Big Cell.
Yes, DJ Big Cell.
Thank you, James.
That's what we're going to keep saying. She's actually both of Swedish and Gambian ancestry.
Okay.
Yes.
Great, great. Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Of course.
Well, Amita, what... This really marks the end of a little mini era. We have been on the Oscar beat since September, really.
Yeah.
Can we talk about September?
Really?
So, I mean, from Manchester by the Sea until, which I had the chance to see an early screening of it. But it's been an amazing time. Thank you for being as passionate and obsessive about film and the awards race as I tend to be. It's been a blast. And to cap it off with this Oscar recap, it has been awesome.
It really has. And I think, however you may feel about how the Oscars turned out, it was an exciting season. I think it caused a lot of discussion about the state of film, the state of diversity. It continues, and I think we still had a really good year for film, so I was happy to embrace that with you.
Agreed. I think we get to rest for 2 weeks, and then it starts all over again.
Yep. Tribeca Film Fest. Let's go.
Exactly. Well, we would love for you to stay in touch with us listeners throughout the week until our next episode. And the best way to do that is through social media.
Yeah, you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Pop Insiders. So find us, follow us, tweet us. Let us know what you're enjoying in pop culture. Give us a big sell and maybe we'll feature it on the show.
And you can always visit our website, and that's at insidepoppodcast.com. On our website, you can subscribe to almost any podcast platform, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. You can access all of our old episodes, and you'll also find some bonus content, and you'll be able to read about us. We've got a little short bio about the two Pop Insiders, so feel free to start stalking us in that way.
We welcome stalkers, guys. And if you feel like stalking us and giving us accolades at the same time, head over to iTunes and give us a little rating and review. We always appreciate feedback, no matter what.
Next week, we kick off a special series for Women's History Month. Every week, we're going to celebrate a different aspect of women in pop culture.
Yes. Who runs the world? Girls.
Girls.
So we are going to count down our top three female friendships in pop culture. It's going to be really, really fun. You are not going to believe who Sean chose, but you
might. And maybe one of them you will believe it.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Have an amazing week, everyone. And we'll see you next time on Inside Pop.
Is a little preoccupied because the friend I was with was actually a date, so there was just like some extra type of nervousness going on with that movie.
Well, I'm not going to ask you about that racial makeup. We'll talk about that offline.
And I bet you could guess.
I bet I can. Well, I saw the movie. We like sharing on our podcast.